Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. I apologize. I know you were expecting to hear Barry Niesbaum's voice. He is going to join us here very shortly. We are experiencing a little bit of a technical difficulty. So I will go ahead and do the regular shout out to everyone until we can fix that technical difficulty. Don't go away. I promise you he'll be here shortly. And he will talk about why the election is not over yet. But while we're waiting for him, remember, grab your cell phones and text the word TRUTH to 88202 so you can always get notifications to our live programming. Also, make sure to go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and sign up to our mailing list if you do not want to use the cell phone system or if you're not inside America. Great news, everybody. Our regular host that I had to step in for a few minutes for is here, so I will not take any longer of your time. Here is our expert, founder and CEO of American Truth Project, Mr. Barry Niesbaum. Are you here, Barry?
I'm here. Thanks, Annie, for handling this for 30 seconds. I was downloading some last-minute exciting news that I wanted to make sure that we could share with our listeners. So, again, thank you all for tuning in and joining us on ATP Radio. We have so much to talk about, literally overwhelming, and I'm not even sure where to start at this point. We are 1 week into the post-election nightmare that nobody would have foreseen, and what I'm about to tell you today is dramatic, it's chilling. We're going to talk about the most pervasive, widespread voting conspiracy in at least my lifetime and maybe in American history. It's not about who wins and loses, although everybody that's listening, I'm sure, has a preference. It's more importantly about the ability to trust the system. If we get to the point in our democratic republic where you vote and you don't think it matters because somebody's going to change it or overrule you or make you feel that there's going to be some surprise the next day or the next day or the next day, you will give up believing in the validity of our democratic process. You'll give up in believing that your vote matters, and you will disengage emotionally from the process. Nothing could be worse for the future of America. I'm about to give you a tremendous amount of evidence supporting the fact that thus far, 7 days in, the validity of our election process may have been criminally subverted in many states by many people with the literal effect of changing the outcome of what should have happened last Tuesday. And when I say should have happened, that means that the legal votes should have been all counted, every one of them, and the illegal votes discarded and ignored. I don't believe that's what happened. Today's show is not going to defend one candidate against another or to implore you to have supported one over the other. Our purpose is simply to expose the illegitimacy of the voting processes in many cases. I'm going to give you an analysis of what happened, and I'm going to suggest a remedy as to what to do about it. Number one, let's set the stage properly. On Election Day, Trump was projected by every single major poll in America to lose in a major landslide. In both the popular vote, which doesn't matter, except that the popular vote by state elects the Electoral College, and the Electoral College, both were going to be a blowout. Every single major polling company, every single national media reporting company, and of course, every single reporter on those stories said it's all over before it was over. And then came the voting last Tuesday. Now, before we go state by state, which I'm going to do, listen to this odd piece of information. There's a company you probably haven't heard of called Dominion Voting Systems. Look it up. They make voting machines. Maria Bartiromo of Fox Business pointed out a couple days ago that Nancy Pelosi, you know, that Nancy Pelosi, her former chief of staff, Nadeem El-Shami, is a lobbyist for Dominion Systems. And Senator Dianne Feinstein, also of the great state of California, her husband, Richard Bloom, is a significant shareholder in Dominion Systems. 33 states use their machines, including Minnesota, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. In other words, every state with a dispute. All are the critical swing states, and all are reporting at least a couple issues or many issues with the voter count. All use those machines in a company run by, owned by, and lobbied for by Democrats. So on election night, when we went to bed, this is my personal experience, here were the vote totals. And this is important. Why? Because quite simply, there was a dramatic, overwhelming difference state by state by state. I'm sure you remember this. I do. It was dramatically different compared to what we woke up to. I'll give you some highlights. Pennsylvania, Donald Trump up by 700,000. Michigan, Donald Trump up by 300,000. North Carolina, the closest of every state I'm going to read you now, Donald Trump up by 70,000. Georgia, 300,000. Michigan, 300,000. Wisconsin, 120,000. That's how we went to bed. What I said at the time was I underestimated the blowout that was going to be the way we, and then came the morning. November 4th, counting of all votes came to a stop in Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia. And my belief is, this is when people looking at it realized, oh my God, Trump is going to destroy Joe Biden in the voting. I'm not telling you who said that. I'm not telling you even if it occurred. But at least in my mind, it was there. Why? I just read you the vote totals. But within a few days, stories of ballot dumping in the middle of the night started coming out. And in every state I just mentioned to you, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia, within 2 days, the vote totals had switched 180 degrees in every one of those states. And then the media called it for Biden. Now, before we move on, let me just make one point. There's no such thing as president-elect until the Electoral College says it. This insanity of the office of the president-elect, which, by the way, Biden made up, that doesn't exist, and the calling of the election by the media is no different than you listening to the weather report and deciding you don't believe it's going to rain tomorrow, even though the lady or guy on the newscast said it's going to pour. You can ignore it. It doesn't mean anything. It's not binding on anybody. Now, here's what we do know. No rumors. I'm just going to give you facts. It's 7 days since Election Day. And now I'm going to give you some news by state, and then I'm going to give you some overviews. Okay, let's start with Michigan. Like I said, I just read you the lead. When we went to bed, it was over. Over for Donald Trump beating Joe Biden. Now, according to a lawsuit filed yesterday, tens of thousands of unsealed and unsecured ballots arrived in vehicles with out-of-state license plates in Michigan's Wayne County. Early in the morning, the witness is testifying in the lawsuit. The vans started arriving at 4:30 a.m. November 4th. Collection sorting place was closed. Six witnesses have come forward. They've all signed affidavits under penalty of perjury and are asking to testify. Here's one statement. One witness says, this is under oath. This person will testify in court. This person is presently hiding. That every ballot that came in on the 4:30 a.m. shipment was cast for Joe Biden. It's mathematically impossible. In this same lawsuit, poll workers, in other words, the people that were letting you vote all over the place, all over Michigan, were instructed to ignore signature mismatches, were told to backdate ballots that had arrived late, and push through ballots despite questions about their validity. This is at polling places and the counting centers. Here's another election fraud lawsuit from Michigan. It's alleged that Michigan poll workers at the counting station were instructed on how to backdate ballots, how not to verify signatures. In a 78-page lawsuit just filed by the Great Lakes Justice Center on the behalf of two workers in that center, the emergency remedy is stop counting ballots in Detroit and Wayne County. And the suit alleges that there is clear fraud that occurred in the counting processes in Wayne County and the way votes were manufactured by workers that were there, according to the plaintiffs. The court must stop the certification of the election, void the election, and order a new vote in Wayne County, which is where Detroit is. The suit says the court has a lot of options, and they could order a new election if the fraud is bad enough. Jesse Jacob, in a different affidavit, says she worked in Detroit. She says she was instructed by her supervisor to backdate mail-in ballots and not to find any deficiencies with any ballot she counted. She was also told if anyone came in to vote, she was not to ask for any identification whatsoever. She says, quote, I directly observed on a daily basis City of Detroit election workers and employees coaching and trying to coach voters to vote for Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. She said she was told they were encouraging voters to vote straight Democratic ballot. That means from the top to the bottom. That includes president and obviously senator, which there's a disputed senatorial election in that state with John James. Several other poll challengers have now signed affidavits attesting to this fraud. Zach Larson, he's an attorney. He was the former assistant attorney general for the entire state of Michigan. This is no slouch. This guy doesn't work at 7-Eleven. He used to be the second most important law enforcement official in the state of Michigan. And he says in the lawsuit, election officials violated state guidelines by removing the secrecy sleeve so the vote counters could see who was voting for whom. And he says he saw other officials at times removing the secrecy sleeve to observe the ballot and then send them somewhere else. He says other vote observers have seen similar irregularities. And when asking a supervisor, why are you doing this? They were told, well, why does it matter and what difference does it make? He says, and this is the Assistant Attorney General now, this is not a regular dude, right? He says that when the secrecy sleeves were observed, or removed, I should say, and the ballots were observed for the wrong candidate, they were put in a different pile to be processed later. Now, here's where it gets weird. In Michigan, the Court of Appeals, their court, ruled that the legislature made the law, and the law can't be changed, that all ballots must be received on Election Day to be counted. Some of you may have heard of James O'Keefe. He runs an undercover video investigation group called Project Veritas. And a couple days after the election, they released an undercover video of a United States postal worker, actually a mail carrier, pledging voter fraud, and he would help remove President Trump from office. And this guy on the video says his boss, the postmaster, was having them stamp late ballots as received on time from a certain pile only. But it gets worse. Allegedly, more than 10,000 people who voted in Michigan are dead. And that's according to the analysis of the state's election data by Big Data Polling. 95 of these 10,000 people, 9,500, are confirmed dead through the Social Security Death Index, but they're still marked as returning and voting their ballots. There's another 2,000 of them shown on the rolls as over 100 years old. Somebody voted their ballots. This is where it gets really weird. A Detroit poll worker signed a sworn affidavit saying that she witnessed thousands of people who weren't registered to vote but added to the voter rolls when they came in. And they were making up birth dates for these people, like 1-1-1900. So this claim is not just about the counting process, but who was being accepted to be able to vote, who wasn't yet registered. Are you disgusted yet? Here's the summary. Michigan has 16 electoral votes. Democratic nominee Joe Biden leads in Michigan by less than 150,000 votes. A change of just a few points of the 5.5 million votes cast would move those votes to Trump. But if the counting is done, how will that be even found? How will people know whose ballot was legit and whose wasn't? Here's what I mean by that. A ballot comes inside of an envelope and comes inside of an envelope. And if the envelopes are gone and they've been discarded, if you're counting bad ballots along with the good ballots, and they're all in the same pile, what will a recount do? Simple. It'll revalidate the existing count. It won't change a thing, with the exception of the dead people. I'm pretty sure we'll find those, but that's not enough to change the election. Okay. Ready for state number two? Let's go to Pennsylvania. Like Michigan, at midnight, when Barry went to bed, Trump was way ahead. I went to bed saying, Trump will win Pennsylvania. largely because of Joe Biden's back and forth on fracking and Kamala Harris's back and forth on fracking, and Pennsylvania is a big fracking state. And then, overnight, more ballots started coming in. Now, in Pennsylvania, the law is very strict. Late ballots don't count. Let me say it again. Late ballots don't count. Why? Because like all the states, the legislature sets the rules, not the courts, not the executive. The legislature, the people closest to the people. So the Pennsylvania law says late ballots can't be counted. Republicans in Pennsylvania won an order from the United States Supreme Court 3 days after the election on Friday night requiring local officials to separate out late arriving ballots and set them aside. It was ruled on by the Supreme Court. So Justice Alito, who wrote the opinion, said the ballots could be tallied, but they must be kept separately. Keep that law in mind for a second, okay? By the way, before I go on and give you some more data, for those of you that have questions, and we're going to stay on for as long as we can with Blog Talk, call this number, 516-595-8069. You'll talk to Annie. She'll get the question. She'll get it to me. Or you can register your questions on Blog Talk, and we'll see them all. And we'll get, I mean, they're piling up. But I've got a lot to cover. I will get to them as fast as I can. Presidential lawyer Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York, former attorney general in New York, and Trump's personal lawyer said as many as 900,000, just under a million invalid ballots were cast in Pennsylvania. And he says the Trump campaign has the evidence. Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business asked Giuliani if the Trump campaign believes it has enough evidence to alter the election in Pennsylvania, and Giuliani says, yes, I think we have enough to change Pennsylvania. He said Pennsylvania, with their election, was a disaster. He says we have people that observed other people being pushed out of polling places. We have people who suggested to vote the other way and were shown how to do it. There's more. Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham, who just got reelected, said he was made aware of ballot harvesting in Pennsylvania using the nursing homes, which is a felony. He said in an interview, he's not going to provide the specific evidence, but he says he's seen the evidence that up to 25,000 cases are being investigated right now where ballot harvesters went to the chronically infirm, people in rest homes or old age homes or nursing homes, whatever you want to call them. And he says that 25,000 people in the same age group requested absentee ballots, and then the absentee ballots all came in, and almost all were for Biden. Almost all. And most of them just voted for Biden. Nothing down ticket. And I'm going to tell you a horrible story now. I've seen two videos alleging that while this harvesting of nursing home ballots was done, certain patients were denied food until they turned over their ballots. Is that horrible enough for you? And finally, from Pennsylvania, Ken Starr, you might remember him. He was the former Watergate special prosecutor who went after Richard Nixon. He says, now, this is one of the most respected attorneys in America by both sides. Starr says the state's governor and the state Supreme Court flagrantly violated the United States Constitution by extending balloting past the legislative deadline. He said, outrageously, observers who are the sentinels of integrity and transparency of our voting process were excluded from watching in hundreds of locations. And he says, Pennsylvania has conducted itself in a horrible, lawless way. And in his words, hopefully this will be corrected at the Supreme Court of the United States. So I've got a problem for you. And I don't know the answer, but I got an idea. According to Giuliani, he says there are 450,000 definite mail-in ballots that were separated from their envelopes. The envelope was thrown away, and the ballot was thrown into the good pile to be counted with every other ballot. 450,000, not counting the dead people, not counting the ballot harvesting people. How close is Pennsylvania? It's 50,000 votes apart. Millions and millions and millions of votes were cast, and it's just a couple percentage, tenths of a percentage point apart, and yet, right now, it's in Biden's column. And the competition between Biden and Trump is for 20 electoral votes. But if the counting is done and you do a recount, how do you find the bad ballots? With the exception of maybe some dead people. You can't. What is the remedy, loyal listener? You got to wait. I'll tell you in about an hour. Let's go to Wisconsin. Well, you know what? Before we do that, let me take a question or two because they're really piling up here and I feel bad ignoring people. So here's the first one. I see no reason to vote anymore. I've been so pissed off for days and days. Well, I don't know who said it, but me too. And that's why, in my opinion, this analysis of the vote that occurred a week ago is so life or death for the future of our country. Everybody that says, oh, get it over with, Trump, concede, be a good guy, don't be a baby, and concede, just like always happens, has forgotten the year 2000. You remember when Gore was declared president, and it took, I believe, 46 days to know that he wasn't president anymore. It was George Bush, because case after case was litigated, and then the votes had to be all looked at, and the hanging chads, remember all that stuff? Well, it changed the outcome, and nobody called George Bush an illegitimate president because faith was restored in the system. One more quick question, then I'm going to talk about Wisconsin. Who is Joe Biden to call for unity when his party spent 4 years calling the rest of the country neo-Nazis? You know, I've seen a lot of responses to that kind of question. The one that is the most appropriate response, it's not a funny joke. I'm laughing because it's such a legitimate question. It's sort of like the battered spouse when the husband comes home and says, okay, I'm not going to beat you anymore. Let's kiss and make up. And she's black and blue and he belongs in prison for 100 years, but now he wants to kiss and make up. It's not always that easy when the words and the deeds were so horrible. It just doesn't work like that. Look, I didn't like some of the presidents we've had lately, but those were still my president because I'm an American. To say not my president, which I've heard that chant about a zillion times the last 4 years, is absurdly incorrect from both a constitutional point of view and from a patriotic point of view. Great question, by the way. Let's move on. Wisconsin. Republicans in Wisconsin are raising questions about the large number of people, particularly new voters, who avoided having to show a photo ID and listed themselves as indefinitely confined. Now, you're going to love this. This is a Wisconsin problem. Like I said, there's a problem almost everywhere. These people requested an absentee ballot, and under Wisconsin law, if a voter says by certification they are indefinitely confined to their residence because of age, physical illness, or a disability for an indefinite period of time, in other words, they can't leave home because they're impaired. That doesn't mean because they don't want to or it's not convenient. It's because they're physically unable to. But if you sign a document that says, I'm physically impaired, I'm indefinitely confined, you don't have to show any ID, but you have to have a witness sign off on your statement. In 2019, 72,000 people had said they were indefinitely confined, and they signed up for the system. And then the last few months, 72,000 turned into, get this, hold on to your hat, 243,000 indefinitely confined. Now, about 6 months ago, 5 months ago, the clerk of Dane County posted on his social media that the governor's lockdown order met the threshold for voters to claim indefinite confinement. And then Milwaukee County issued the similar guidance. But the state Supreme Court sided with the Republicans and said the clerk's advice was legally incorrect. But nobody changed the instruction. So it went to the court, the Supreme Court, for the whole state. And they said, no, that's not the law. So despite the Supreme Court ruling, if a voter said I'm indefinitely confined, they automatically got a ballot sent to them. So the sole determinative body in the state of Wisconsin, which is the legislature, was 100% overruled. So the Republicans say it looks like thousands of people voted without having to show a photo ID. And even the Democrats are admitting that the indefinite confinement exclusion has been abused in Wisconsin. Official says, at what point does this become fraud? I think it became fraud in April when people were listing themselves as indefinitely confined when they clearly were not. And that was just allowed to continue and get worse and worse, he said. But despite the Supreme Court decision, there wasn't a definite ruling about what to do about it. So they just let it go. And 25,000 or more of the indefinitely confined voters had never voted before. He continues, we know there are people who are indefinitely confined. That's what the law was put in place for. But the interpretation left a loophole that you could drive a truck through, he said. Clerks were encouraged to double-check if voters were, in fact, indefinitely confined, but the official said there were so many of them the numbers made doing so impossible. I mean, they could have asked, what sort of disability do you have? But they just gave up. Sad, isn't it? So according to a member of the Republican Party in Wisconsin, quote, you can register as indefinitely confined and a ballot's going to be sent to you in every election and you don't even have to request it. But here's the problem, he continues. You don't have to show ID or an ID card. There's no requirement that in the hands of the election commission or anybody having to check you. and we have no voter ID requirement in the state. The GOP in Wisconsin says there's only one remedy. This one I agree with. The one remedy is to cast away the ballots that were cast. In other words, throw them out if they were indefinite confinement confinement votes, and have those people revote. There's a legal case. They've gone to the Wisconsin GOP and asked, what do we do about indefinite confinement, and what does it really mean according to the court? No ruling yet. Care to guess how close the vote is in Wisconsin? 20,000. 10 electoral votes. What is the remedy for the confined illegal voters? Stand by. You're going to hear it soon. Oh, there's a couple other questions. Let me see if I can get to one. One of our listeners says, not to endorse a possibly stolen election, but do you think the country can survive Biden's victory? Will it get reversed? Nixon probably won the 1960 election, but decided not to tear the company apart by contesting the vote. That's interesting. I'm really glad you brought up Nixon. Looking back retrospectively, 60 years ago, it was clear that Nixon lost and Kennedy won because the Democratic machine in Chicago, run by Mayor Daley, had every person in the Cook County cemeteries around Chicago voting. It was an open secret. Everybody knew it. There were no computers to figure this out. And by the time they figured it out, Kennedy was already in the White House. So I don't think it was Nixon that gave up. It was more of Nixon figuring, there's nothing I can do in Chicago. Will we survive? Yes. Will we survive if things stay the way they are? Yes. But with a tremendous decrease in belief in our system. Let's go to the sunshine of Arizona. Trump has sued Maricopa County over incorrectly rejected votes. This is a different problem, also very interesting. In a press release that came out on the weekend, the Trump campaign explained how ballots cast on Election Day were marked as overvotes by county machines, which means that the machines did not count those ballots. An overvote refers to a ballot that has been marked with more than a single vote for a single candidate, meaning you voted for, say, Trump and Biden. That invalidates the ballot, and it should. Many of the ballots incorrectly marked as overvotes were canceled, but should have been counted by hand. The lawsuit explains when machines detect overvotes at the polling station, a poll worker is supposed to grab the person and say, hey, there's a mistake. Here, you can fix it. But instead, poll workers in Maricopa County, that's where Phoenix is, it's the majority of the state, told voters to press the green button to override the error, and the campaign says, when you push the green button, it disregards the later vote. And the campaign has collected declarations from voters who witnessed the problem and alleged it occurred on a very large scale in Maricopa County. The numbers of how many it occurred are unknown yet. But if a large number of people were not given an opportunity to properly vote, and if the rules were not followed, it could mean the results in Arizona are inaccurate. Sure sounds like it to me. And it's particularly important now that President Trump has narrowed the gap with Joe Biden to under 20,000 votes, with a lot of votes still uncounted. So the invalidation there may be enough to flip it. I should mention to you, there's also this magic marker thing where people were given Sharpies, and if you voted with a Sharpie, it would cancel the vote. And I don't want to spend any time on it because I really can't figure it out. But I just want to let you know it is being alleged that people requested markers, and instead of giving pens, they were given Sharpies, and if the Sharpie bled through, the machine wouldn't read it. And the supposed story is if it bled through, it was hand counted. Other people said it went into the reject pile. I don't know which happened, so I'm not reporting on it. But there's more, though. Matt Morgan, the general counsel for the Trump campaign, has issued a statement in which he blames poll workers for not showing voters how to use the polling machines. Here's his quote. Poll workers struggled to operate the new voting machines in Maricopa County and improperly pressed and told voters to press the green button to override any error. The result is that the voting machines disregarded votes cast in person on Election Day in Maricopa County. Why does it matter? Well, Trump and Biden are only 15,000 votes apart, and there are 11 Electoral College votes at stake. Here's a question. Why did poll workers do the stuff that supposedly they've been accused of doing? Why did they just say no? Aren't they volunteers? Why not just say no, we're not going to fraudulently affect the election? You know, I bet you, and I don't know, but I bet you most people are good people. Most people said no. Most people didn't commit fraud or enable fraud. But it doesn't take many people to flip an election where the total disparity between the alleged winner as of today, Joe Biden, and the alleged loser today, Donald Trump, would flip-flop for 100,000 votes or 140,000 votes. I haven't looked at the count since I started this show. It might be that close. One or two minor percentage decimal point changes, a tenth here and a tenth there, and Trump remains as president. If 99% of the people who were running the polls and running the counting are great people and 1% were in on it, that's all it would take. You know, I saw a video that was sent to me by someone who works for the president, and I'll just tell you about it quickly. I can't show it to you. It's on TikTok. The person that sent this to me works for the President of the United States. On this self-posted TikTok video, you see a poll worker opening up mail. In other words, the outer mail and then the inner sleeve, and looking at the ballot and the ones that say for Trump, he holds up to the camera, tears it in half, and says, "This vote for stupid Donald Trump, I'm sorry, Donald stupid Trump, ain't going to get counted here today." Rips it up, throws it over his shoulder. Did that guy change the election? Uh-uh. But a lot of those guys might have. There's another video out that shows a postal worker delivering to an apartment building, and a resident of the apartment building is talking to him on a secret camera, asking him, could he get a whole bunch of ballots to fill out? This is before the election. And the postal worker says, "Yeah, I've got a lot of them for people that don't live here anymore, but they're mailing ballots out like crazy. My truck's full of them." And he says to the guy, "I'll give you as many as you want to fill out, you know, for Biden." How many of these cases have to exist with mail-in ballots until people finally say enough's enough? I want a new election. We're going to get to that. And now let's talk about Georgia. There are 159 counties in Georgia. Yesterday, the Secretary of State held a press conference. I watched every word of it. He said on camera, "There is some illegal voting. I'm telling you right now. I don't know how much. We are going to recount the two candidates are 12,000 votes apart competing for 16 electoral votes. And this gentleman talking, the Secretary of State, said they found extensive evidence of double voting in the June primary and the August runoff of this year. And get this, illegal voting in 100 of the state's 159 counties. And he says he knows there are similar problems from last Tuesday's election. Now, how close is Georgia? 12,000 votes. That's it. Out of 5 million votes cast. 5 million. So if last Tuesday, the Secretary of State's comment is right, that 100 of the 159 counties in the state of Georgia last time cheated, what are they going to find on a revote? A recount. Now, Georgia is actually more important than any other state in the country right now, and I'll tell you why. With North Carolina reported going for Trump, which was a done deal, but they're just reporting it, and Alaska going for Trump, and for the Republican in Alaska and the Republican in North Carolina for Senate, here's the way the Senate stands right now. 50 Republicans, 48 either Democrats or independents like Bernie Sanders that vote for the Democrats on every party vote. There are now two runoffs that are going to happen in Georgia, two incumbents, Perdue and Loeffler, that are being challenged by very, very liberal Democrats, both of whom were doing great until the last minutes of polling, in which case they dropped, well, in Perdue's case, running for re-election, he dropped just under the 50% threshold, so he has to go to a runoff. And Loeffler ran against a whole bunch of Republicans. It was an open primary, so she was going to be in a runoff anyway. There are projections, and I'm not making this word up, that $1 billion could be spent between now and January when they have the runoff, because if the Democrats flip both those seats in that state, it'll then be 50 voting with the Dems and 50 voting for the Republicans. And before you get all excited and think, well, it's a tie, that's great, that means nothing will get done, that's not the way it works in the Senate. In any case where there is a legitimate tie, whatever the numbers, 50-50, 49-49, 48-48, who do they call to break the tie? President of the Senate. Here's a civics lesson. Anybody know who the president of the Senate is? Anybody? Bueller? The president of the Senate is the sitting vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris. So she will be called to the Senate chamber to break any and all ties. And this could be catastrophic constitutionally for the United States. Why? Because many senators, led by Chuck Schumer, and members of the House of Representatives, led by Nancy Pelosi, have made no secret that they intend to eliminate the filibuster in the Senate, which is the ability of someone to stall and prevent a vote. That'll be voted out. And then the next vote they will take will be to enlarge the Supreme Court. And if that happens, after nearly two centuries of having nine justices, that concept of the nine justices supported by Republicans and Democrats in the Senate, the House, and the White House, including the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who implored politicians not to expand the court, it would destroy the balance of power in the United States. So you're going to ask me, what do you mean? Well, we have a tricameral system. We have three branches of government. We have the presidency, which is the executive branch. We have the legislative, which is the Congress, composed of the House and the Senate. And we have the judiciary, and on the executive level, at the very top, it's the Supreme Court. They are intended to watch and check each other, checks and balances. If Chuck Schumer gets his plan, and eliminates the ability to limit the court, which is now limited because they'd never get it through the Senate because the senators would never vote for it. But if they have the majority, or even 50-50 plus one, they can change the rules, expand the court, and pick the most liberal, progressive, socialist, communist, whatever you want to say, judges that now become members of the court. And the existing well-qualified judges, whether they justices, whether they're liberal Democrat, conservative Republican, or God knows what, like Chief Justice John Roberts, who goes both ways, and they pick people specifically because they want them, they can get them through the Senate on that 50-50 vote with a tiebreaker every single time, and you won't recognize this country in a year. I hope that scares you, because it should. Because the ultimate protector of your rights is the Constitution, and the defender of that document is the Supreme Court. And if that goes away, you won't recognize this country in just a few years. I guarantee it. So, at least from a constitutional perspective, vote for one of the people running for the two Georgia seats to be a Republican, so they can't do that. Here's a question. I like this one. The Constitution says the state legislatures are supposed to be in charge of elections. Why should we be at the mercy of partisan lawyers who change the rules? That's exactly what the Republican Party in Michigan and in Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin want to know. This viewer is very well informed. You're right. The legislature, which are the people representing the people that elected them, make the rules on what the voting laws are going to be. And I got news for you. They're different from state to state, both on how the elections are done, what the terms of office are, how the parties qualify, and how the electors are selected. And they can't be overruled unless it's for a constitutional issue. So when you have a clerk in Michigan deciding how many days left there ought to be to submit your ballot after the election day, or you have a clerk in Wisconsin deciding what a stay-at-home person is, willy-nilly, and then ignoring the justices on the Supreme Court that say, you can't do that. That's illegal. Or in Pennsylvania, they're suing to say thousands of poll watchers and vote counters were kicked out and weren't allowed to watch the count, which makes those counts illegal. But it was done anyway by bureaucrats. I think you see how dramatic and horrifying it is when people who shouldn't have the power take the power to change the rules. I would say change the law, but they didn't change the law. They just made up a procedure. That's why I think there's a legitimate remedy request in certain cases, not a recount, a revote. I don't want to leave out Nevada. Let's go there. In a new sworn affidavit just published, a whistleblower in Clark County, if you don't know, is where Las Vegas is. It's the vast majority of the population of Nevada. He claims that Nevada poll workers fabricated proof of residency for illegal voters. And the Nevada Attorney General, Aaron Ford, has taken no investigative action to look into the claims. This whistleblower also says he observed on a lunch break two people handing multiple unopened ballots to other people who then opened them and filled them out on the side of a Biden-Harris van. The same two people who were filling out the ballots then put the marked ballots in the official pink and white envelopes, but the people marking the ballots weren't poll workers, according to his affidavit. And other people then formed what he calls a human wall to block the view of individuals that were handling the envelopes. And apparently there's lots of cases like this in Vegas. So how close is it in Nevada? This is why all this is important. In Nevada, Biden leaves Trump by 35,000 votes. And they're competing for 6 electoral votes. It's a small state population-wise. But what would be the remedy, ladies and gentlemen, for the ballots that were faked or changed? Because they all look legitimate. Somebody voted on them. They're not torn. They're not fake. They're legitimate ballots. Filled out illegitimately. Trump calls that an illegal vote. I would agree. But if they're put into the hopper, all the other votes, and you recount, aren't you just counting bad data? You know the old thing they used to teach you when you're learning accounting? Garbage in, garbage out. You can't catch it. It doesn't have a flag on it. They're not dead. Now, there is another issue in Nevada, which is people coming into Nevada from California to vote, or people that have left the state, and contrary to state voting laws, if you're out of the state and you've been gone for 30 days, you no longer have a right to vote. But apparently there's a lot of those ballots that have come back and have been voted. They'll catch those if they work hard enough. Will they catch that many? 35,000? No idea. Okay, let me give you some overviews, some really interesting stuff. Here's a very bizarre statistical anomaly. In a normal election, the presidential elections, I mean, on presidential election years, with only the president's name filled out, nationwide statistic has never exceeded 10%. In other words, you go in, you vote for president, it's at the top of the ballot, and then you've got governor, senator, congresswoman and man, the statewide officials, you know, it might be 30 people on the ballot or 10 plus propositions, right? Nationwide, statistics say that the number never exceeds 10% of people who just vote president. Because if you're going all the way down there and you're filling it out, you're going to vote for some other people too, at least for the Senate and the House, right? This year, nationwide, that number was doubled and tripled. Has never happened in American history. And the big ones were Michigan and Arizona. That leads the statisticians to believe that in a rush to create more ballots, they were just voting the top line for Biden and not wasting time filling the rest out. I mean, who cares? This is about who gets the White House. Here's another bizarre statistic. This comes from Amanda Head, the Hollywood conservative, on her daily podcast. And this is really weird. The week before the election, the end of October, there was a massive spike for Google searches, get this, voter fraud jail penalties. A massive spike for people searching what are the penalties for voter fraud. Massive spike. Were those from people wanting to know what they were going to be subject to? Or just people curious? I'll leave that to you. I didn't get Amanda to tell me what she thought. I did a show with her on network a few months back. She's a great lady. Here's another one. Judicial Watch has released a comparison study of Census Bureau population statistics nationwide and compared it to state voter registration data to reveal a notable disparity. This watchdog group, they published this before the election, is warning of potential voter fraud and dirty voter rolls. Their study found that in 352 U.S. counties, spread over 29 states, to have 1.8 million more registered voters than eligible voting age citizens. Concluding, quote, in other words, the registration rates in those counties exceed 100% of the eligible voters. They're signing up more people than there are people to vote. Let me say it again. More people were signed up to vote than there were people eligible to vote based on age by 1.8 million people. Doesn't that scare you? Scares me. Here's another one. There's a big fight going on right now with Biden appearing before this back screen office of the president-elect. He just made that up. There's no such thing. But there is a thing that happens where the General Accounting Office provides funds once the new president has been selected. Biden has been demanding GA funding, and they haven't been provided to him. By virtue of history, when outgoing President Bill Clinton refused to start the transition in the funding for George W. Bush coming into office, he said, until it's final, you're not going to be the president. It could be you. It could be Al Gore. We'll wait. And when President Bush was finally declared the winner because he won Florida based on the Supreme Court's interpretation, at that point and that point only, GSA forked over the money. But their policy is the General Services Administration does not fund the incoming president until the president is elected and the president-elect is selected. And under federal law, who makes that call? Anybody want to know? The GSA and nobody else. Not CNN, not MSNBC, not CBS, or even Fox News that is calling Biden president-elect. They just made that up. It is a made-up term that has no validity in the law, in the process, or even structurally. So until such time as the GSA says we have a winner, they ain't funding Biden. Here's a question. If the Democrats have nothing to hide, then why are they opposing an investigation into the election? Well, duh. In 2000, the Al Gore campaign fought the George W. Bush campaign tooth and nail to prevent a recount of the hanging Chad ballots, because at that point, Gore had already won the popular vote, and if Gore carried Florida, he was president. So they fought and fought and fought and fought. Eventually, they lost. So my supposition is the same reason Democrats want Trump to concede, to move on, to let the healing start, to put the bad days of this Nazi-like president behind us, is because they just want Biden to win and they want Trump to lose. I would ignore it. It's simply noise. We don't have a president-elect yet. We don't even know who's in the lead. Because I'm telling you something, a lot can change before the Electoral College meets in December. Now, here's a big thing that could make a big change. Attorney General William Barr, who I happen to think is doing a terrific job, has authorized federal prosecutors across the country to, quote, pursue substantial allegations of voting irregularities. He says, I authorize you to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdictions in certain cases, as I have already done in specific instances. Such inquiries and reviews may be conducted if there are clear and apparently credible allegations of irregularities that, if true, could potentially impact the outcome of of a federal election in an individual state. This was sent to all the U.S. attorneys, the assistant U.S. attorneys general for the Criminal Division, the Civil Rights Division, the National Security Division, and the director. Holy moly, is that going to shake some things up? Because I've read you just some of the affidavits. I want you to know, I've looked at hundreds of videos. I've read 75 affidavits. This could have been a seven-hour show, and everyone would have been asleep long before I finished. There's that much out there. Please, please, please do not believe anybody on the mainstream media that tells you there is no proof of voter fraud. It's all made up. It's a President Trump rumor. Or it's just President Trump lying like he always does. It's hard to believe how much air cover the anti-Trump media provides for the anti-Trump people in politics. It's discouraging, and I don't know how Trump gets out of bed every morning, reads the news, and doesn't want to go back to bed. I really don't get it. Here's something Trump is going to do, supposedly. There are going to be post-election Trump rallies. As they describe it, ultimately the purpose of the upcoming Trump rallies is to promote the campaign's litigation efforts to ensure a fair and honest election. Right now we know there's a lot of cheating and dishonesty surrounding this race, and Republicans aren't going to stand for it. When GOP poll watchers are not allowed to observe the counting of ballots, that's an issue. When states like Pennsylvania are having to separate ballots while still in the process of counting votes, and yet they still call the state for Biden, that's an issue. And of course, where dead people are voting and non-residents are casting ballots in states where they're not even eligible, this too is problematic. So, Trump is going to have rallies to remind people not to give up. God bless him. He'll put more people in the first stadium he addresses than Biden has addressed in 47 years, including the campaign. I made a remark the other day right before the election when Trump did five rallies, and I think he pulled in 100,000 people, and Biden did two rallies and pulled in somewhere between 10 and 15 people total, you know, in those folding chairs inside the white chalk marks where he read off a teleprompter and refused to take any questions and then was driven back home. A lot of people think he's the next president of the United States. All right, here's my big question for you. By the way, one last question from a viewer. She asks, is Biden hurting for money? Is that why he wants the GAO money? Oh, my God. He's sitting on the biggest fortune in the history of politics. He just wants the government to pay for it so he can do something else with the money he's raised. They're not poor. They're loaded. All right. Get to the most important thing I'm going to talk about today. You've heard some really horrendous evidence today. And you don't have to take my word for any of it. Go online. Look this stuff up. You know, it's funny. I was checking something earlier today before I finalized my talking points, and I checked on voter fraud in Nevada. The first three pages of Google were articles saying there was no voter fraud ever found in Nevada. And then I checked Arizona, and it said the same thing. And then I checked Pennsylvania, and it said the same thing. Formerly, reputable news sources like New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago newspapers, Pennsylvania newspapers, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and on and on and on, saying President Trump is just making this up because he's a sore loser. But even Fox has joined that bandwagon. Yesterday, Katie McElhinney, the press secretary for the United States president in office, was asked about voting irregularities. She started listing what is happening, and Fox News, Neil Cavuto, cut her off and cut the feed and said, she's not providing evidence. I'm not going to let you see this. And they broke away to a commercial, and he wouldn't put her back on the air, where Fox News always used to cover press conferences. They have moved to the other side politically, just an FYI. On another show, we'll tell you what to do about it. So now you know how bad it is out there. So the question I want to ask you is, if it is this bad, and there may be millions of fraudulent votes, and 100,000 votes or 140,000 votes moving to the other side would make Trump president, but a recount will just recount bad ballots, what is the solution? If you recount and revalidate bad illegal votes, all you've done is just made the problem permanent. What is the solution? Ladies and gentlemen, I have a solution for you. And it's something that we created at ATP. And I want you to hear it. You ready? I call this the resolution to save America. Whereas America's elections should always be free, fair, and faithful to the Constitution. And whereas the 12th Amendment to the United States Constitution lays out the rules by which our president is to be elected in a fair manner. And whereas election night ended with President Trump leading in Georgia, leading in Michigan, leading in Pennsylvania, leading in Arizona, and leading Wisconsin by over a million total votes. And whereas by the next morning, all leads were vanishing due to overnight mysterious vote deliveries leading to losses for President Trump. And whereas voter fraud is evident on a massive scale in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Wisconsin. And whereas Republican vote counters, counting observers were excluded from witnessing the fair counting of ballots in many locations, allowing for fraud. And whereas hundreds of thousands of illegal ballots may have been deposited into the counting centers and mixed in with valid, properly voted ballots, and whereas with lawsuits being filed in each of these states, the usual remedy of a recount would simply revalidate much of the existing counts showing Biden in the lead in each of these states because the valid and invalid ballots have been mixed together, and whereas millions of Americans are aware that their valid votes may have been canceled by possibly millions of fake votes obtained and voted improperly. And whereas deducting illegally cast votes is an appropriate remedy when illegally cast votes can be identified. And whereas millions of Americans have lost confidence in the value of their votes due to the rampant public awareness of voting fraud, and whereas it is urgent to restore confidence in the fairness of voting as a critical component of faith in our democratic republic. Therefore, it is resolved that all identifiable votes cast contrary to state laws shall be disqualified and removed from the official tabulations on a state-by-state basis. And be it further resolved that in jurisdictions where the number of illegal votes cannot be identified and cannot be segregated, the court shall order a revote to take place on the first Tuesday of December 2020. And be it further resolved that all voting must take place in person with a valid identification for each voter to be checked against the official voter rolls for each jurisdiction, with the exception of special circumstances that will allow for a mail-in ballot for the infirm, for previously qualified absentee voters, and other similar exceptions. And be it further resolved that by court order the official certification by the Electoral College of the winner of the presidential election and the certification by the individual states' elections where revoting shall occur will be delayed until such revote shall be held, concluded, and counted. A remedy to correct the alleged injustices perpetrated on the American people exists through our court system. Please help us save our freedom by supporting and promoting this resolution. Help American Truth Project educate as many Americans as fast as possible by posting this resolution and sending it to your friends. Ask them to post and pass it on. Patriotically offered to Americans on November 7, 2020 by Barry Nussbaum, CEO and founder of American Truth Project, and Inez Annie Cyrus, National Director, American Truth Project. You can get this resolution on our website. You can get it on our Facebook page. Please pull it, send it, post it, reproduce it like a maniac. We really, really want the word out because, quite frankly, it's our belief that there's no way to fix the problem if the ballots have been mixed with the other ballots. And if it's a matter of dead people, well, we can identify those. And if it's the stay-at-home ballots that were illegal, well, we can identify those. But those are very isolated and small numbers. And it's not going to take a lot of numbers to fix this. I'm sorry so many of you are upset. I assure you, so are we. But thank goodness we have a court system. A court system that is now actively involved in a number of jurisdictions. A court system that's going to be ruling every day. And ironically, three members of that court system are new justices, Amy Coney Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, and Mr. Kavanaugh, all of whom have come on recently and all of whom were involved in the Bush rulings in Florida in 2000. Don't give up on America. We won't if you won't. For those of you who haven't subscribed to our text message alert system, which means you get all of our stuff for free on your cell phone like this, text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and send it to 88202, push send. You'll be automatically subscribed to our text message alert system. You'll get everything on your cell phone absolutely for free as soon as we release it. Or you can go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and you can sign up there. You'll get it in a slightly different format, but it's the same stuff. It's always free. Every week we do radio. Barry on Tuesday, Annie Cyrus on Monday, Thursday, nationally known political pundit Will Johnson, and hosts of very important guests on our video that we put out another couple days a week. Please stay in touch with American Truth Project. Please take our resolution. And you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel where we have added esteemed British commentator Katie Hopkins and her millions of followers as well. So again, 88202 is the message. Send the message TRUTH to 88202. Push send. You'll be subscribed. You'll be on with us for as long as you want. And like I said, it's always free. For ATP Radio, thanks for coming today. I hope you learned something. I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.